Okay, so today's topic is we're going to discuss today about the question of what should the controversy of what in Israel regarding what Shabbos should look like, to discuss about should buses operate on Shabbos, and this question, buses, businesses, and movie theaters, this question really goes to the heart of the question, to what extent is Israel a Jewish state or a democratic state? And can there be some rules about Shabbos in this country without violating the democratic values of religious coercion? So what I'd like to do with you today is I'd like to focus on three primary events. Those three primary events are the Hours of Work and Rest Law of 1951, the 1961 negotiation regarding public transportation on Shabbos, and the Gavison-Maidan Covenant of 2003. And I hope these three events will shape our conversation. But before I begin with these three events, I want to start with some history. And actually, I think in a prior lecture, I referenced this letter. And the focus could be a little bit different on this lecture. As the United States Special Committee on Palestine was considering whether to endorse the creation of a Jewish state, David Ben-Gurion, as chairman of the Jewish Agency Executive, sent a letter on June 19, 1947. That's the first source here. And he sent the letter to the ultra-Orthodox Agudas Yisrael party or group in order to form a united policy to present to the United Nations Special Committee on Palestine, UNSCOP, which had commenced its fact-finding tour 4 days earlier. The letter was meant to address their concerns that the emerging state of Israel will be a secular one, which might hurt the status of religion and religious institutions as well as the values of their followers. So this letter says, it's from the Jewish Agency to the World Organization of Agudath Israel. Dear sirs, the agency's executive has learned from its chairman of your request concerning guarantees on matters of matrimony, Shabbos, education, and kashrus in the Jewish state once it's established. As you were informed by the chairman of the executive, neither the agency's executive nor any other body in the country is authorized to determine the law of the Jewish state in advance. The establishment of the state requires the approval of the United Nations, and this is impossible unless freedom of conscience in the state is guaranteed to all citizens and unless it is clear that there is no intention of establishing a theocratic state. In other words, we can only get this Jewish state if it's essentially not a a theocracy, if it's a democracy. The Jewish state will also have non-Jewish citizens, Christians, and Muslims, and it'll be necessary to ensure in advance full equal rights to all citizens. And okay, the next paragraph, he says, still, the executive appreciates your demands and is aware that these are matters that worry not only the members of Agudas Israel, but also many of the religious faithful and Zionist parties. And it is sympathetic to your demands. So therefore, they have authorized the following position. And they adopt four positions. Four positions here. And what I'm interested in is the first. Well, they address Shabbos, Kashrus, marital law, and education. For our purposes, they write, or it is clear that Shabbat will be the legal day of rest in the Jewish state. Permission will naturally be given to Christians and to those practicing other religions to rest on their weekly day of rest. So essentially, what this letter and everything else really is not relevant for our purposes. But in this letter, Ben Gurion states that neither the Jewish Agency executive nor any other body, they're not authorized to determine in advance the constitution of the state. But the goal of the letter was to convince the Aguda that even a future secular state could satisfy the concerns of the religious parties. And it stated that regarding Shabbos, that it's really general and it's really vague. Again, let's look at it. Shabbos will be the legal day of rest. It's a vague commitment that the legal day of rest will be Shabbos. And despite the complexities of this issue, and of course, this letter has no legal value because this letter was issued in 1947 before the establishment of the State of Israel. That being said, the first law to regulate work and rest on Shabbos was the 1951 Hours of Work and Rest Law. It's in the second source here. And this law was passed by the first Knesset despite the opposition of religious parties who had favored a more, restrictive or more religious Shabbat law. Had the religious parties had their way, the Shabbat law would have included a declaration by the Jewish state of the sanctity of Shabbos and clearly delineated the official form of Shabbos observance. Instead, the law that passed is very much socially oriented and is concerned with the number of weekly hours permitted and the worker's right to a weekly rest. So let's read some of this. I don't have the entire law, just hopefully some of the important provisions for our purposes. So it's in Section 7 of the Hours of Work and Rest Law. An employee's weekly rest shall be not less than 36 consecutive hours in the week. The weekly rest shall include, in the case of a Jew, the Sabbath day. Okay, so it has to be on the Sabbath. And in Source 8, Section 8, the Minister of Labor may, by regulations, prescribe in respect of particular types of employment a weekly rest shorter than the 36 hours, but not shorter than 25 consecutive hours. A weekly rest prescribed by regulations under this section shall be deemed the weekly rest under Section 7. So you can have, it can't be less, it has to follow the, any type of employment has to follow this Section 7, which says my rest day has to be, if I'm a Jew, on Shabbos. And in Section 9, an employee shall not be employed during his weekly rest. So you can't employ a Jew on Shabbos unless such employment has been permitted under Section 12. So again, it seems that it's forbidden to employ a Jewish worker on Shabbos unless Section 12, we'll see Section 12 in a minute. Section 9a also says on the prescribed days of rest, the owner of a workshop or an industrial undertaking shall not work in his workshop of undertaking, and the owners of a shop shall not do business in his shop. So this seems to say you can't allow the operation of certain businesses. So what are some exceptions? So Section 12 says, the Minister of Labor may permit an employee to be employed during all or any hours of weekly rest if he is satisfied that interruption of work for all or part of the weekly rest is likely to prejudice the defense of the state or the security of persons or property or seriously prejudice the economy or process of work or the supply of services which in the opinion of the Minister of Labor are essential to the public. So it seems that there are exceptions to certain market sectors such as essential to the public, whatever that means, something that could prejudice the economy, security issues, and essentially these exemptions, and additionally, they're also in Section 30, it also says the law shall not, and by the way, sorry, in 12b, so a general permit shall be given only upon a decision of a committee of ministers consisting the Prime Minister, Minister of Religious, and Ministry of Labor. Okay, so you need these type of ministers to agree. That's why some of these positions are sought after by perhaps some of the religious parties, because these will find exceptions to the Shabbos rule. Now, the law shall not apply, again, to government employees, sailors and fishermen and aircrew, and certain other types of individuals, and it gives a lot of leeway to the Minister of Labor. The way that this has been interpreted, the exemptions, would be, let's say, the hospital, lifeguards on beaches and swimming pools, water supply. And again, these permits can only be granted by a committee comprised of a Minister of Labor, a Minister of Religion, and the Prime Minister. Special permits are issued by the Minister of Labor that might cause, as mentioned, great harm to the economy or essential to the entire public, in the opinion of the Minister of Labor, there's a lot of discretion. Examples historically have been permits for public institutions such as the Israel Broadcasting Authority and the Israel Airports Authority. The Minister of Labor has the power to enforce the law and administer fines to employers who break the law and pursue criminal charges. The main sources for arrangements regarding opening or closing of businesses on Shabbos, again, you have this national law, but you also have municipal bylaws. So these are set according to the municipality laws or the municipality ordinance, which states that local authorities are empowered to regulate the opening and closing of stores, workshops, restaurants, cafes, bars, cinemas, theaters, and other places of public leisure. And this power can be applied to rest days. And a large majority of municipalities have bylaws in place that forbid opening of businesses on Shabbos. Some municipalities permit cultural and leisure activities, but forbid commerce. Now, here's the key. So you have the national laws, and you have these municipal bylaws. In order for these bylaws to be effective, and it requires the signature of the Minister of Interior. So, for example, in 2017, when Tel Aviv tried to change its bylaws to allow more businesses to operate on Shabbos, the Minister of the Interior refused to authorize this change, and it did not allow it to be enacted. So that's the relationship in general between the national sort of law, and you have these, you know, municipalities that can make their own laws as they see fit. They have to get approval by the Minister of the Interior. Now, the status quo also took hold in Israel. In most this took hold in most cities, and the public transportation for a long time did not and does not operate on Shabbos. In 1957, M.K. Rabbi Zerach Warhaftig engaged in extensive talks with the Mapai-led government, that's the left-wing government that ruled over Israel until 1977, including the demand for the Day of Rest law to allow restaurants to remain open. At that time, Ashkenazi Chief Rabbi Yitzchak Herzog wrote to Rabbi Warhaftig, and he asserted that many of the compromises that the Mapai, the left-wing, the secular government wanted, were against halacha, and therefore, this was not a matter requiring a ruling of Jewish law. Rather, he said that the MKs, the religious MKs, the religious politician, should do their best to reduce the amount of Shabbos desecration. They should do their best to cause the most minimal amount of Chilul Shabbos. Again, you don't have a society in which the majority of Jews are Orthodox or religious. The majority are non-Orthodox. The non-Orthodox perhaps want to allow more things to open on Shabbos. They want to allow restaurants to open. So Rav Yitzchak Herzog, who was the Ashkenazi chief rabbi, his guidance was try to minimize the amount of Chilul Shabbos as much as possible. In 1961, the new government comes to an agreement regarding public transportation on Shabbos. Buses are shut down in heavily Jewish areas, with the exception of one city, that's Haifa. Because Haifa had many Arab residents, and they had a very secular Jewish population. Now, the chief rabbi of Haifa was very opposed to this. You know, all the other chief rabbis were pretty happy that there's going to be no public transportation, despite the fact that the majority of Jews in Israel are secular. They're happy with the negotiations, with the compromise. Chief Rabbi of Haifa feels shafted. He's saying, well, you're throwing me under the bus. This will weaken the Jewish character of the city if on Shabbos we allow public transportation. And he said, and this is similar to the case in the Gemara. There's a case in the Gemara which states that, let's say, you have a group of bandits come to a group of Jews, and they say, give us one of these Jews that we're going to kill, otherwise we're going to kill all of you. You're not allowed to give over anyone. So what he's saying here, you can't sacrifice Haifa, even though this will prevent public transportation in the rest of the country. In response to this debate, Rav Shaul Yisraeli, who was a leading Torah giant in the religious Zionist community, he was a Rosh Yeshiva of Merkos, Yeshivas Merkos Arab, the famous Yeshiva, and passed away about 25 years ago. He wrote an essay called Behilchot Koalitzia. I have this, you know, sefer here called Amud Yemini, and this is Amud HaYemini. This is a sefer with very important articles written by Rav Shol Yisraeli on issues relating to the modern state of Israel. And one of his chapters is called Behilchos Koalitzia, the Halachos of Coalition, deals with this topic. And he concludes that the proposed law will minimize Chilul Shabbos in general and certainly public Chilul Shabbos across the country. It involves neglecting a small part of Eretz Yisrael for the benefit of the majority of the country. And he feels that the benefit overrides the potential strengthening of the sinners. Because maybe you can argue that, what are you doing? You're machzik yidei ovei aveira. You're strengthening the hands of the sinners in Haifa, of those who want public transportation in Haifa. He feels that the benefit of getting agreement to, that there should be no other public transportation throughout Israel overrides what's going to happen in Haifa. And he thinks that even though it seems to be, is this a Chil Hashem as a result of this? He thinks the benefit far outweighs the costs. In response to those who argue that, you know, some people say, once you allow public transportation in Haifa, so you're already, you know, giving in a little, then what's going to happen? First they go for Haifa, then they go for Tel Aviv, then they go to Herzliya. So in response to now, you're opening the door to sanctioning Chilul Shabbos on Shabbos of public transportation. He says, Ein Safik Motzi Midei Badai. Says, a doubtful situation doesn't override a certainty. In other words, he says, he writes, right now we have the opportunity to put into law rules that limit Shabbos violation in most of the country, which will be strengthened by the Knesset. There doesn't seem to be on the horizon a better law that will limit Chilul Shabbos in the public square in the future. And what he says, why do we assume that Haifa's law will worsen the situation elsewhere? Maybe the rest of the country, sort of keeping the spirit of Shabbos without public transportation, will impact Haifa in the long term. Additionally, he argues, most people who are Mechalel Shabbos are not what's called mumarim. A mumar is someone who willingly violates Shabbos because they are angry at God. I think most people would probably rather not work on Shabbos. That's what he argues. But what can you do? Their employers make them work on Shabbos. So he says that they work because they don't want to lose their job. And therefore, we have a responsibility to halachically save them. So it's true that you know, we're giving in Haifa, but in these other cities, by putting this law in Knesset, as a Knesset, you know, the Knesset agreeing to this, and all of Israel, essentially, the government agreeing to this, so by not having public transportation with buses, you're basically telling employers, don't force your employee to go to work, and you're saving a lot of Jews who may not want to go to work, and that's a good thing, and we have a responsibility to save them spiritually. He also says that even though there's a rule that says you're not allowed to commit a small sin in order to save yourself from a larger sin. That's a general rule that we can't say I should commit a smaller sin in order to save myself from a larger sin. He's saying that that doesn't apply to what's called a mitzvah derabim, a mitzvah for the masses. So you would be allowed to, for example, if this was considered a sin, you would be allowed to support a small part of Eretz Yisrael committing a sin if this would mean that you're causing so many more people not to be Mechalel Shabbos because you don't have public transportation. He has many other arguments, but there's a case in the Gemara which talks about freeing someone who's a slave. Again, I don't want to get into legalities of, you know, is it ethical to have a non-Jewish slave or not. In the days of the Gemara, they said you can free a slave, and then it was not allowed to free a slave. Why? Because they needed a minion. So if they free the slave, he can make up the minion. Again, I'm not getting to the ethics of slavery here, but the point here was that this is an example where for a mitzvah derabim, a mitzvah for the masses, so you would be allowed to violate a small sin of freeing a non-Jewish slave. Again, I'm not saying you should have slaves, but his point was that's used for the purpose of if even you're allowed to create a situation where some people are committing a sin, if you're causing a massive mitzvah of stop making sure there's no public transportation. He said more than that. You're not enabling people to sin. You're not telling the Jews of Haifa, okay, now I want you to sin. You're simply not prohibiting them from sinning. So, and he also said, is making this deal, is that a chil Hashem? Is this seem that we're sanctioning, you know, we're sanctioning the violation of Torah by allowing this law to go past? He said, I don't think so. Because it's pretty clear, if you look at this compromise, what are we doing? It's very clear that what's the religious saying? The religious is saying, we would love, if at all possible, to get rid of all public transportation, but we can't. So at the very least, this is the best we can do. It's very clear that we're not saying, oh, we want there to be public transportation, but we're doing this in order to ensure that there's no public transportation for the rest of Israel. So it's not causing a chil Hashem. No one in their right mind would think, oh, the rabbis are thinking it's okay now to have public transportation. This was the religious politicians doing the best they can to minimize chil Shabbos. So Rav Shaul Yisraeli, who was a gadol hador, he was a Torah giant of first rank, who supported this coalition negotiation, which included saying that, you know what, notwithstanding this law here, he saw the way the tide was turning, perhaps Israel's becoming more secular, let's have this law in place very clear and give them Haifa, but we'll get the rest of Israel no public transportation. Now, in recent years, there have been various attempts to change the status quo and these status quo arrangements to reduce the feelings of religious coercion by, for example, permitting civil marriage and public transportation on Shabbos. And with this, we're going to turn now to the Gavison, made the third point, the Gavison-Maidan Covenant of 2003. 2003, the Gavison-Maidan Covenant was drafted. The Gavison-Maidan Covenant is a proposal for the relationship of religion and state in Israel, intended to retain the state's Jewish character while minimizing religious coercion. It was named after Professor Ruth Gavison and Rav Yaakov Maidan. Who were Professor Ruth Gavison and Rav Yaakov Maidan? Professor Ruth Gavison was an Israeli expert of human rights. She was a professor of law at Hebrew University, and she passed away in August of this past year. Rav Yaakov Maidan is a Rosh Yeshiva at Yeshivat Har Etzion. So here we have a secular jurist and a Rosh Yeshiva in Yeshivat Har Etzion who are trying to find a way to deal with the religious secular divide that can heal the rift in a way that both the secular and the religious can feel comfortable. The following, and you can find this online, it's very fascinating. They have many different issues that they want to tackle. And so the following, what we have here, is the proposal for what Shabbos should look like in the state of Israel. And he says the following, the proposal. A basic law will be promulgated to the following effect. The Sabbath is the official day of rest of the state of Israel. Government of offices, educational institutions, factories, banks, services, and commercial establishments will be closed on the Sabbath. The prohibition against opening on the Sabbath will apply equally to urban areas, kibbutzim and moshavim, and along the roads. Essential industries, hospitals, and essential services will operate within a Sabbath framework, as is the current customs. Employees have the right not to work on the Sabbath. Non-Jewish employees have the right not to work on their religious days of rest. No Sabbath-observing individual will be discriminated against in terms of hiring or promotion in the workplace. A self-employed business person will not hire employees to work on the Sabbath. Workplaces operating on the Sabbath will engage employees to work on that day on a rotating basis, and to the extent possible, will give Sabbath-observing employees the opportunity to perform higher-paid work during the week. Okay. Restaurants and places of entertainment will not be forbidden to operate on the Sabbath, subject to suitable locations and noise levels. A limited number of small grocery stores, gas stations, and pharmacies will not be forbidden to operate on the Sabbath. A concession to operate on the Sabbath may be awarded on a rotating basis for a special fee. Restaurants, museums, and other places of entertainment that are open on the Sabbath will close on another day of the week. Particulars of these arrangements will be elaborated and defined by an authorized committee of the local authority. Transportation routes will remain open during all hours of the day and all days of the week. In towns or neighborhoods having a solid majority of Sabbath-observing residents, or in other locations where traffic should be limited in certain times, transportation routes may be closed for all or part of the Sabbath, as per an authorized decision of the local authority. Local and public authorities are permitted to take measures to reduce the volume of traffic on the Sabbath in designated locations. Transportation arteries will not be closed for reasons of Sabbath observance. A modified form of public transport will be permitted on the Sabbath on a reduced schedule in order to afford mobility to those who depend on public transport while preserving to the extent possible the character of the Sabbath in the public domain and restricting the need to work on the Sabbath. Consideration will be given to operating public transport on the Sabbath by special concessionaires and by means of small vehicles. Commercial establishments which so desire will be entitled to open on Saturday night after inclusion of Sabbath. Number 8, steps will be taken to facilitate recreation on the Sabbath in a manner that does not involve Sabbath desecration in establishments such as museums, zoos, and national parks or participating events by, for example, offering advanced sale of tickets. Possibility of transferring sporting other events which are currently held on the Sabbath to weekdays will be investigated. Comprehensive effort will be made to move the entire economy to a 5-day work week to enable joint family sporting cultural events on days other than the Sabbath. Sabbath observance in the IDF will be discussed within the framework of a general discussion in the military. Sabbath arrangements will not apply to local authorities having a majority of non-Jewish residents. And official Israeli representatives of the board will not conduct official diplomatic activity on the Sabbath. And, okay, so, like, essentially, what this proposal does is essentially saying that Shabbos is still the official day of rest in Israel. People will not be employed and will not be required to work in manufacturing, trade, or services on the Shabbos. In other words, commercial activities will essentially not be done on Shabbos. Cultural events, entertainment, and a reduced schedule of public transportation will be permitted to meet on demand. Okay, so that's the chiluk that's being made. That's the distinction that's being made between commercial activity and essentially cultural and entertainment. Cultural entertainment events allowed on Shabbos at a modified schedule, but not commercial activity. Government offices and banks and factories will be closed. Restaurants are not forbidden, subject to suitable locations and noise levels. Right, small grocery stores, gas stations, pharmacies can be open on Shabbos. And transportation are allowed to be open, but more of a modified form of public transport. However, if there's a majority of Shabbos observing residents in a particular area, then it might be closed. And again, try to operate recreation facilities in a manner that does not involve Shabbos violations. Now, why would Ruth Gavison want this? Why would Rav Meidan want this? So the truth is they both explain why they both agree to this. It's actually written down in the covenant. I'm just going to summarize for you. Professor Ruth Gavison agrees to this proposal. Again, it does provide restrictions. If you're a secular Jew, maybe you should say, I don't want any coercion. I don't want anything closed. She thinks that these rules do not stem from religious coercion, but it stems from a significant expression of the uniqueness of Shabbos within Israeli public domain. That she's agreeing to restrict individual freedom for cultural purposes. This is about keeping a cultural Shabbos. We're not compelling Shabbos observance by doing this. There is freedom of mobility for those who don't have a car. There is opening of restaurants and places of entertainment. And she feels that if you're a Jew, from a cultural perspective, A day of rest is a worthy objective, and having some restrictions, it does not amount to a violation of constitutional fundamental liberties. Rav Meidan, if you're a religious person, so what do you think about this? You're allowing a lot more than the current status quo. So why is Rav Meidan agreeing to this? Rav Meidan, again, let's just put it in perspective. Rav Meidan is a Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivat Har Etzion. He does not have the same halachic status and caliber as someone like, I would say, Rav Shaul Yisraeli. Okay, Shaul Yisraeli is really a Gadol Hador within the religious Zionist world. Rav Meidan is a top-notch Talmid Chacham. Don't get me wrong. You know, it's hard to, you know, ranking different individuals, hard to do. But Rav Meidan certainly is a well-regarded, well-respected. He's a Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivat Har Etzion. Why would he allow this? Why would he agree to this? So he argues that even for the secular public, Shabbos can have value as it provides a time out from the daily involvement in work. Now he's speaking first to the secular Jews, why it's good for them. He says it provides an expression of an overall Jewish identity. He cites the famous secular Zionist thinker Achad Ha'am, who felt that Shabbos observance has a national value, coining the phrase, more than the Jewish people have kept Shabbos, the Shabbos has kept them. Yes, that didn't come from a rabbi, that came from the secular Zionist thinker Achad Ha'am. He lived the same time as Herzl. And Rav Meidan says, he argued that for the secular Jew, the secular Israeli, creating mutual concessions can help heal the rift between the secular and the religious, which is desirable to all elements of Israeli society. But what about for the religious Jew? How can we agree to this? How can we agree to allow more Chilul Shabbos, more public transportation, the opening of entertain movies, the opening of movie theaters, the opening of restaurants? How can we allow this? So Rav Meidan says that for the observant Jew, the goal is to instill in the mind of the public the conviction that there is a solution to the religious secular divide. He feels that on a pure technical halachic level, so again, there's halacha and there's hashkafa. From a pure technical halachic level, it's not a problem. Why? Because this does not permit anyone to violate Shabbos. We never say, this covenant does not permit anyone, never says that you're allowed to violate Shabbos. What it says is, on a technical level, the state will not intervene as much as it intervened beforehand. Okay? That's what this law says. Until now, the state intervened in more situations to prevent individuals who were violating Shabbos. Now it simply says that the state will intervene less in terms of imposing restrictions on Shabbos. What he argues, so that deals with the technical halachic situation. What about hashkafically? You're allowing more Chilul Shabbos. So he says, wait a second, not so clear. He says it's important to view not only the ideal image of Shabbos as, let's say, it states in the current set of laws on the books in Israel, but also the existing, and also halacha, but also the existing reality. He says, even though, let's say, there are many laws which may limit certain things on Shabbos, in practice there is extensive Shabbos desecration. And he says the court rulings suggest a trend towards expanded Shabbos jurisdiction where the court's going to allow more things on Shabbos. And he says that many people are breaking the law anyway and the municipalities aren't doing anything. And he feels that, you know, it's a kind of law that a lot of people are breaking. And he feels that an official compromise is preferable than not doing anything at all to keep the spirit of Shabbos in this country. Some Rabbonim, even in the religious Zionist camp, were very opposed to this agreement. As an example, Rav Aviner, who's a prominent religious Zionist rabbi, Rosh Yeshiva, he wrote a response, and he said, "We absolutely cannot countenance such an agreement because we are giving a hechsher, a rubber stamp to Chilul Shabbos. He argued that all Rav Shol Yisraeli did was what he said when he wrote his article of Hilchot Koalitzia. He said we should try to save as much observance of Shabbos as you can, and simply ignore other violations. That's why he argued that we should try to save other cities besides Haifa from public transportation. But he says, here, what are we doing? We're creating a covenant that permits that which is forbidden. And this is something that we cannot countenance. He wrote that Rav Shol Yisraeli would never have allowed this. Rav Meidan wrote a response to not only Rav Aviner, but to other Rabbonim who also criticized this covenant. And he argued that the primary source for Rav Aviner to prohibit this was actually from an Achron called the Baal HaAkeidah. And he said, what was the Baal HaAkeidah? I forgot his name at this point, but the question was this. There were many single women and many single men who were being intimate with each other. So the question was, should the Beis Din allow these single women to go to the mikvah? So because now if a woman who's a nida has relations with a man, so it's a much more severe sin than a single woman who goes to the mikvah and she has relations with a man. So some were saying, the Beis Din should say that single women should be allowed to go to the mikvah so that their sin would be less. And he said, absolutely not. He says that absolutely not. We can't give a hechsher on this forbidden activity of single women having relations with single men. So he says, similarly, by having this covenant, we are giving a hechsher towards Chilul Shabbos, towards public transportation, towards opening up the restaurants. And Rav Meidan said, no, this is not the same. He argues that situation was a Jewish court saying it's permitted for women to go to the mikvah so that the sin that they commit is less. We're not talking about any Beis Din here. This is about negotiating Israeli law. This is about what should religious Jews do in negotiating Israeli law to maintain the character of Shabbos? This is not about a situation that if there's this covenant, there's this agreement in Israeli law based on this covenant, then we are saying that a rabbinic authority is saying it's permitted. This is similar to what Rav Shol Yisraeli wanted to do of minimizing Chilul Shabbos in the state. And he feels, and there's no implication that this would be permitted according to halacha. This is not about any basin saying it's permitted. This is about trying to minimize halacha, maintaining the spirit of Shabbos as much as possible in the Israeli street. And he feels that this covenant is similar to what Rav Shol Yisraeli suggested. Additionally, Rav Aviner argued it would permit religious transgressions. But he said, Rav Meidan says, in reality, there already is so much Chilul Shabbos in practice. There are already businesses operating on Shabbos, and many municipalities are not doing anything to stop it. So this covenant, actually, if it was agreed upon, not forced upon, but if this was based on that, on dialogue, and this is something that both the secular and the religious agreed upon that was good for the country, so this, in practice, would minimize Chilul Shabbos in the street. It would close shopping malls. It would prevent Shabbos from becoming the national shopping day. Rav Meidan feels that the covenant would enhance the religious character of the state, ensure religious liberty, and facilitate positive feeling towards Judaism throughout the population. And that's why he feels, not only halachically, but hashkafically, it's good for Judaism, for halachic observance. In other words, what he's doing is, he's saying that the public square will look very much like Shabbos. More so. Now, there's no commercial activity. Yes, there will be entertainment, but there will be no commercial activity. And he feels you'll get more buy-in by the secular public, and this will heal the rift. This will result in better feelings towards the religious, and eventually it will result long-term in more observance in halacha by the secular public. Now, this covenant, again, was published, and it definitely serves as a framework, but it was never adapted as a law. You know, in 2017, the Knesset passed a law detailing conditions for the approval of employment on Shabbos. The law requires the Minister of Labor to consider the following factors in determining whether to permit employment during an employee's hours of weekly rest. And one, and it said, among other things, it says the employee's welfare, the heritage of Israel. So this was put in as a request by UTJ, which is the Aguda, as a condition for their remaining in the coalition government. This was submitted in connection with the light train construction that had been performed during the weekdays and even on Shabbos. So they got that in there, that you can, that in making decision, you should also be concerned with the heritage of Israel, i.e. Masorah. Now, Shabbos in Israel is not what it once was. Most Israelis do not work on Shabbos, but many do, most illegally. I read an article that about 20% of malls in Israel are open for business on Shabbos. In practice, the status quo, which was agreed upon in 1951 and even after 1957, 1961, it does not reflect the reality. Additionally, there is much lack of enforcement of local Shabbos laws. Many businesses operate without a penalty. So here's the question: if you are a religious party or you're a religious Jew, that you have some influence, do you bring up the lack of enforcement of Shabbos laws, but with the concern? Now, what should you do if you're a religious party? Do you talk about it? This isn't being enforced. But maybe if you start talking about it, what might happen? There might be pressure to change those laws. In other words, the country is becoming more and more secular, more freedom of religion. Let me do what I want. So what should you do if you're a religious party? Maybe do you try to get a consensus with an agreement like the Ruth Gavison Covenant that will be enforced properly, which involves shutting down commerce on Shabbos, allowing cultural activity, and permitting a limited scope of public transportation, as well as certain essential services. There have been attempts to propose laws based on the Gavison-Maidan Covenant. So this covenant has not been adapted. But for example, in 2017, there were a few political parties that wanted to establish Shabbos laws along the lines of this framework, but it was not successful. But for religious Jews, I would argue, there seem to be two frameworks to deal with the public Chilul Shabbos. Either try to continue to outlaw and enforce as much as possible in a more adversarial role with the secular public, and that's negotiations. Everyone has their own public interest, and you try to minimize as much Chilul Shabbos as possible and try to enforce as much as possible, or something along the Gavison-Maidan Covenant that allows certain cultural and entertainment industries to remain open while closing commercial businesses, and enforce this and try to get buy-in, which probably may lead to greater enforcement and perhaps to create some spirit of Shabbos that will be agreed upon by Israelis across the entire religious spectrum.